All right, let me jump on into today's opening monologue, the Right Side Way monologue. As always, I'll remind you guys that attorney Stan McDonald is, in fact, the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way. Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee, 30-year veteran in practice of law, daily sponsor of the Right Side Way, and I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a few minutes. All right, listen, today's a landmark day in the rule of law. It just is. Landmark. Like a moment in time when the rulings that came down from the high bench at the Supreme Court of the United States are impacting how and why we do things in an epic way. Much of the Trump agenda is currently vested in the various federal court decisions that are making through their processes of the legal system, not the least of which are decisions that are being issued today in Washington, D.C., at the Supreme Court of the United States. Let's think about it. Things that are happening right now, in this single day, we could have the bulk of the president's agenda passed in the big, beautiful bill as the Senate pursues the reconciliation package. But at the same time, the Supreme Court just issued a ruling this morning in a case that's styled as Trump v. Casa. Trump v. Casa. This one is big for a variety of reasons. So let me give you the breakdown on it. Trump v. Casa began as a challenge to President Trump's executive order that ended birthright citizenship. Remember, illegal aliens come across the border, they have a baby, suddenly, poof, instant citizen. And Trump said, no, not on my watch, we're doing away with that. Well, the guarantee of citizenship to virtually everyone born in the United States, it's an arguable issue related to the Constitution. The lawsuit, Trump v. Casa, deals with that very thing. But it came to the justices of the Supreme Court this week, not on the underlying issue of birthright citizenship. They weren't there to deal with that. The case came to them because it included an emergency appeal about whether or not the Trump administration pursuing matters can be enjoined on a nationwide level by the lower courts. Basically, here's the deal. The Trump administration has asked the Supreme Court justices to weigh in on whether or not the power of the federal district courts to issue nationwide or universal injunctions to prohibit the federal government from implementing birthright citizenship or anything else for that matter is really the way it's supposed to work. Well, they just heard the thing last month. The courts never move this fast, but they recognized that this one had serious consequences and had to be dealt with momentarily. So, yes, the decision was rendered today. It unlocked the ability of the Trump administration to go ahead and operate without liberal activists forum shopping their favorite judge to get a nationwide block on anything. In a 6-3 decision today, the Supreme Court reined in on activist judges who sit in their solo courtrooms enjoining nationwide activities. And y'all, this is huge. The Supreme Court basically told the lower courts to stay in their lanes. And I got to tell you, I love the law. I respect the law. And I also know that there's supposed to be one version of the law that is blindfolded so that justice can be served correctly and evenly and expeditiously. But the abuses of the amazing system of justice that our founding fathers created that we've been watching for the last few years have been making a mockery of the law, an absolute mockery. It's apparent that the rule of law was not what is being sought in many courtrooms. Now, with that said, I cannot help but return to a personal story that I've told before, but I'm going to tell it again because it relates. Recently, I was asked for my thoughts about what a U.S. attorney can do for their state, and the first thing that I responded with was an experience that I had on the war in Afghanistan. Right as the war kicked off, my team was inserted and co-located with a special forces team in a remote corner of the northern provinces, and I lived among the Afghan people. And aside from combat operations and all the things we had to do, I was also tasked with my team trying to win the hearts and minds of the people. So I oversaw aid dollars to rebuild agriculture and education and infrastructure and more, living among the Afghan people doing things like this. In the course of doing it, I would actually enter into contracts with Afghan contractors to get things done. And then I got the word in early 2002 that one of the local warlords, an old-school strongman thug named General Miralam. Miralam had put a stop to some of our efforts and had taken control of some of our projects. Basically, old Miralam was flexing, trying to admit the new guys see what he could do. So I broke with our normal security protocols, and I made known in advance that I was coming to his headquarters. And I rolled in the gates of Miralam's headquarters, and it was like something out of a bad movie, to be honest with you. I have seen multiple movie scenes where the third world dictator has the arms dealer come see him and he sits there all fat on his stool with all of his heavily armed sycophants. It was like Jabba the Hutt sitting there with all of his entourage around him. Yeah, it felt like that. I went in to see Miralam. We greeted each other. We had tea for a minute, and then we got down to business. And I asked him, and he confirmed he had indeed shut down the work on the project. And I asked why, and he said pompously that it was needed. It was what must be done to ensure that all is well. And I told him that it wasn't needed, and that he was interfering in a contract with the United States of America. You could feel the tension in the room. People didn't walk into Mir Alam's house, apparently, and tell him no. But I did. I told him it was unacceptable, and that I would be communicating back to my headquarters that the U.S. efforts to help the Afghan people were being hindered by one man, him. In truth, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know if my headquarters would have done anything at all. This was a crapshoot. I was playing my best cards. I didn't know how it was going to turn out. I even questioned a couple of times whether I was going to be allowed to leave the room. And then all of a sudden, the general just smiled and threw his hands in the air and goes, "Okay, okay." But then he asked me a question, and here's why I tell this story. He said to me through the interpreter, "In Afghanistan, it is people like me who handle the matters that involve the contracts. Who does this in America?" Well, I knew the answer to that question, and here's my point. I said it back to him immediately. I said, "The lawyers." Mir Alam looked at me like he had just heard the best joke ever. I'll never forget. He turned around and repeated my answer in Dari to his entourage, and they all broke out laughing like it was the funniest thing they'd ever heard. The point is, I knew then that the years of degradation and poor governance that I was seeing in Afghanistan had reduced the rule of law in that country to nothing more than a laughing matter. Where there is no respect for the law, you get anarchy. Where the courts cannot be trusted to operate blindly, you have no justice. And where the courts are used as a tool to punish people for an agenda or to help the strong man stay strong, then you watch society begin to crumble. So yeah, you can call me partisan if you want to, but what we've been seeing over the last few years with lawfare and courts just selectively enjoining activities on a nationwide basis, that's wrong. And I've seen firsthand, me saying it now about Afghanistan, I've seen firsthand what a society can look like that has no respect for the law. Part of the preservation of a well-ordered society comes from having a judicial system that is built and maintained on the premise that the law is meaningful and necessary and that it's even indispensable. But in order to do that, we need more folks who will serve in their various capacities in the judicial system to uphold and defend the law. Look, I believe in what is often referred to as a strict construction of our U.S. Constitution. Some refer to it as the doctrine of judicial constraint, that the Constitution says what it says, that the courts are to be constrained from trying to deviate from the black and white text of the Constitution. So what's the big deal, liberals ask? They will argue, that Constitution, that old piece of paper, that was written 225 years ago. It's out of date. Those old dudes back then didn't know what we'd be going through in today's world. They couldn't see the modern life. They might have gotten it wrong. Liberals love to think that the founders might have been willing to write it differently if they lived in our modern times. But in essence, I believe the Constitution ought to mean something, especially given our times. And I think if the same men were here, they would write it again the exact same way. The Constitution of the United States and its duly passed amendments, such as the first 10 in the Bill of Rights, they are there for a reason. With such things as freedom of religion and speech and the press and the right to bear arms and protection from unlawful search and seizure, the right to an impartial trial, due process, all of it, the rights of individual states to have some sovereignty, all of that and more. If we tamper with even one of those constitutional rights, if we allow them to be diluted, then the whole thing becomes a house of cards. The only body that can revise the Constitution is the legislative branch and by virtue of publicly debated amendments, which are then sent to the various states to be ratified. 3/4 of the states have to agree on the amendments, something, by the way, that has only happened 33 times since the Constitution was first drafted. And of those 33 times, only 27 were successful. That's 27 times in 2.5 centuries. The amendment process, it's important. It's sacred. If we allowed the courts to simply say, yeah, we don't like that, we're going to enjoin that activity, we don't think that's the way it's supposed to work anymore, then we're nothing but putting the entire nation in jeopardy. We're no better than Afghanistan. Liberals these days, they want their agenda put forward, but oftentimes it's that good old firewall we call the Constitution that keeps us a free nation, and they can't get around it. Unless, of course, they could pack the court with liberal justices who refuse to be bound by the doctrine of judicial constraint, justices who could care less about blindfolds, justices who look at things and see an agenda before they see the law, or U.S. attorneys who look for trophies and pursue their agendas? By God, no. Not for a second should we ever go down that road. And we've got to make sure we're putting the right people in who love the law who will uphold the law. From the founding documents all the way through, those things which have been constructed and construed and passed into legislative action and signed by the executive branch. Our founding fathers knew. And conservatives, we also know. We know that every branch of government must be preserved by the support and maintenance of good conservative caretakers. And in this case, I'm talking about conservative judges and conservative U.S. attorneys who take the role seriously, who are determined to uphold the Constitution and to fiercely interpret it as a document the courts have no right to change on their own. And U.S. attorneys who will fight to argue the benefits of the enforcement and the application of those laws. Yeah, so I'm a conservative. Because I believe that the rights that we have are inalienable, and they are written in our Constitution. They're sealed by the efforts of generations that went before us. But upholding the rule of law cannot be partisan. It cannot be one-sided. It cannot be slapstick. And today, I'll be honest with you, the rule of law, it just got a huge boost from the Supreme Court by issuing a ruling that basically equates to a smackdown of activist courts everywhere. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.